At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
And this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
When people don't want to, when authority structure, when people are uncomfortable with that, if it's in a home, whether it's a wife and husband or whether it's kids, you don't have respect for authority in a home, you got internal conflict. This internal conflict often happens when a teenager becomes a teenager. All right? Because they're wanting more liberty, more responsibilities, more freedom, but they haven't learned the bottom one yet, that comes with responsibility. And so therefore, they're just bucking up against the authority without taking the responsibility, internal conflict. And that's what happens here. Another, like it was with Abimelech, civil war. Not all of Israel, because remember, the Philistines are still over on the coast. They weren't addressed in this, because they'll get addressed in Samson, right? So those guys, there's still some Israel oppressed over on the western coast of Israel. All right? But here we are in this situation, and we have now one side of the Jordan fighting the guys on the other side of the Jordan. So the Ephraimites have crossed. Okay? These are causes of internal conflict. Notice the first one, husbands. A desire for authority, Abimelech. I have the right to lead. My dad's the right guy. I'm going to take, and he's oppressive leadership, internal conflict. That civil war didn't work out either. But on the other side of it, those who rebel against authority, that also leads to internal conflict. So whether you have a dictator in a country, eventually comes apart. There's a coup somewhere. All right? But on the other side of it, if you don't, there's no respect for authority, you end up in rebellion and things. So those are the basic two causes of internal conflict in relational structures. In a company, they just fire you. You know what I mean? So you're out the door. So there's not so much of that. So when it comes to what happens when you don't, when you rebel against authority, I want you to go back. I'm going to see what TV show, because we're such a visual culture, and most of the younger ones won't get it. But there was a day, okay, when you called your teacher by their last name, Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. There was a day, and I remember this when I was engaged to Kimberly, and even after I married Kimberly when I was 20. But for her grandfather, you couldn't call him anything but Mr. Phillips until you were 21. So I was married to his granddaughter, still had to call him Mr. Phillips. Okay, that's the generation he grew up in. But today, we have very ineffective, for the most part, public school system. But we also, the kids are told, you don't see that. Okay, and part of that has to do with discipline. All right, but it is when you start telling a particular ethnic group that they don't have to respect police officers. You get police officers getting shot and sniped. Okay? I'm not blaming either, you know, the ethnic group in that, but once you start tearing down the authority, you will end up in civil war. Not a full civil war necessarily, but in that internal conflict within a neighborhood or a city as that's going on. It's the same thing in today parents. We have so much more internal conflict in the home. For one, we have no authority structure in the home as far as the marriage relationship goes. And then we say to the kids, you're supposed to have one. And they look at you and go, you don't. And by the way, we all know parents, they copy more what we do than what we say. And most church splits are not because of doctrine. Personal fights, internal conflict, and rebellion against authority structures. And it could be that the church building committee has decided they're going to put in stained glass windows instead of regular windows. Those people who will not submit to that authority, I'm talking about the committee that's been given the response, they get all upset, so they go across town and build a church with regular windows and call themselves the first church of the regular window. You think that's funny when you know where the word Free Methodist came from? Back in the day, the Methodists would charge. You'd buy your pew. That's how they'd pay for them. Well, the Free Methodists thought that was wrong. So they started a Methodist church where you didn't pay for your pew. That's not a doctrinal conflict, folks. That's you don't like the way the authority was doing it, so we're going to go do it our way. Most church splits are basically a rebellion in some way against what's going on. Now, I understand if there's doctrinal differences, but most of them aren't. They're preferences. I prefer. They don't want to do it my way. I'll go start my own. And there's a difference between practice, okay? And I understand there are people who like hymns out of the hymn book with an organ. That's okay. I understand that. That's practice. That's not necessarily just preference either, because you do that every week. You don't build a building every week with or without windows. After a while, you don't even notice the building anyway, and nobody wants to come clean the windows, no matter which type they are. So we find here that Jephthah defeats the Ephraimites, and he gives them a test. The Ephraimites and the Gideonites were both Hebrew. You couldn't tell the difference by looking. Both claimed to be Christians, right? They come to the river to escape because they're side lost, to run back home. But the Gileadites have the fords where you cross the river. And I've shown you pictures of that river. It's not always a little creek, right? To cross that river, and they make them say this word that they can't say. And we can go all over the country, the United States, around the world. We've seen people have, my dad to this day can't say fifth. He's from Arkansas, and he says filth. Was that dirty? You know, Joshua chapter, we'll turn to the filth chapter. Luke, is that a dirty chapter? Is it dirty? That is it filthy? He just can't say fifth. Okay, so I'm picking on my own family here. All right. So they couldn't say this thing, but so yeah, how does that apply to us? We can say that word. But how does this really apply to us, I guess? And again, I would say we're sort of in the same boat. How do you know who's on your side? Now, statistics show like 80-some percent of Americans say they're Christian. Okay, I don't remember the exact numbers. Probably down to the 70s now. All right. But just among church attenders, let's don't call the people who call them that. Let's say people who actually go to church, sit in a pew most of the time on a Sunday. All right. And forgive my criticism or cynicism. I've been in church long enough. I know this. Not everybody sitting in a pew on Sunday. Be regenerated. Okay? I've been around long enough to know that one. So how do you tell the difference? Now, here's what you can't judge. Only God can judge the heart. But out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. What do they have them do here? Speak. So I don't want you to think I'm just making this up. The heart manifests itself on the outside. How do you test who's on your side? Here's the world. The Bible says this is how the world does the test. First one's up, how the world does it. What is that? Anybody know what that scripture says? They will know you by your love. The world will look at how much we love each other. That's how they'll tell whose side we're on. The devil's side or God's side. So Jesus says you'll know them by their love one for another. Yeah, the church is known for that. Well, that would tell me if I'm on the outside, it's one of the great criticisms you hear about the church. On the outside, they go, you're on the same side we are, man. You ain't no different, will you? That's their measure on whose side you're on. And then when you come to the church's view, which you heard me talk a little bit about that, but in John 5, 2 through 3, by this we, that's us, know that we love the children of God, that's our own side, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, because his commandments are not burdensome. Okay, I'm going to get myself in trouble here because I'm used to it. When you want to tell me you're on God's side, but then say you're under grace and you can do what the heck you want. I understand that, okay? I understand the sense of which that's said, all right? But as an idea of a theological construct, I think that's very poor. Because it says, how are you going to know our own side? How do I know if you really love me? Well, do you love God? Well, how do I know that you love God? You don't go, I'm under grace, I don't have to do anything. You say, no, man, I stumble like crazy, but I'm sure trying to do it God's way. That when you come to the river, that's one of the ways that it says there's the test. And then you get to Matthew 7, all right? And the Jesus says this, that you'll know them by their fruit. Fruit. You'll know them by the fruit. And that's where he goes, this, an apple tree doesn't grow pears, if you will. He uses a fig tree. Okay. So the fruit. So a lot of people go, oh, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, right? Keep reading, please. Put it in the context. He then gives the example of those who call him Lord. We did this in your name. We did that in your name. These outward miracle manifestations. So you can watch TV all you want, and they can tell you all about miracles. That's not the measure. Because he called me, and he says, man, I never knew you, right? Just because you call me Lord. Then he goes into the story you heard me tell the kids. You can find, just put in house built on sand, okay, in a secure image search, not Google. You do an image search in Google, who knows what you get. Okay, you can find all kinds of them, house built upon the sand. And the storm comes, a house goes smash. You can find these because hurricanes come. All over the East Coast, they get pictures of this after every one of the storms. And these people go build back on the sand. And we go, man, what a fool. Yeah, but the view's amazing. And then they want the government to pay for them to rebuild the house because they built it there. When the Bible tells you if you build your house in the sand, what's going to happen? You didn't know the Bible even talked about hurricanes and where to build your house, did you? This is the people who hear but don't do what God said. They're the fool. That's in the same chapter. Then when he talks about fruit, what fruit? Fruit of the Spirit? No, fruit of this, doing what God said. We're back to those commands again. And then he says, of course, if you do what he says, your house built upon a rock. You think that's the place he sees storms? Yeah, what's amazing is you can go to the Seattle area and you can see people who've built houses on rocks like this. And they see every storm that comes through the Sound, Puget Sound. It's the people who are living on the edge of the Sandy Bluff that house continually goes down the hill, but not the guy out in the middle of the Sound built on a rock. So even in a natural, I love the way God uses these natural analogies. He says, look at, how are you going to know them by the fruit? What is that fruit? He tells you, not miracles, doing what I say. That's the context of Matthew 7. That's good hermeneutics, folks. Put it in its context. Don't jump over and say, it's the fruit of the Spirit. See, Jesus tells you here what fruit you are judging. He's giving permission to look at the fruit and see what comes off the tree. He's not saying, don't look at the tree, man. Only God knows the inside of the tree. Is that what Jesus says? No, no. You judge the tree by its fruit. What is that fruit? Not miracles. Whether they're obedient to what I say. And guess what God's test is? Anybody know what that says? If you love me, you will obey my commands. Now, outside the church is our love one another. Inside the church, the judgment is obeying God, both from God's view and how we're supposed to view. Unless you know God's word, for one, you can't obey it. And people say, well, you don't understand. People can just fake it and obey. No, they can't. They can only do it so long. It will get you. Be sure your sin will find you out, Jimmy Swaggart. Those of us remember. Jim Baker, whoever it is, Pastor Randy, whoever you are out there, Ken, you ain't going to fake it. And so one of the things I had to write about in a class that I'm doing is, what are your core values in ministry? And one of mine is authenticity, real. For one, pedestals are too high to fall off of. It hurts. So for me personally, I have no problem telling you, I always don't have a sweet relationship with every one of my children. I get angry at people who cut me off in traffic. I get frustrated in the Philippines, ask Tim, because they don't know what a line is there. In traffic, oh, they give way to one another and they make it go. But you get in line at an airport, you're standing in line, you've been there 45 minutes, and these people go, hey, I've been here, excuse me. And I did that once. I have no problem saying that. Okay, so there's that realness part of it that we have to have. So we're not pretending, because pretending will get you in the long run. Now, will I always get all of God's commands perfect? No. And here's the one I love. Well, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all. First of all, would you put it in context? That ain't what it says. It says this. This is the greatest commandment. The Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But wait a minute. How do we love God? If you love me, you... Yeah, he said this is the summary. I summarize all those commandments with the idea of loving God. But that plays out in obeying which commandments? We get into that. Now, will I keep them all? No. And I'm going to be honest. I put all the commandments in the context of the cross. I do that. I know that. All right? But they're not negated by the cross. The cross does this. It covers me when I don't keep them. So we've talked about this as we journeyed through the Old Testament, all these sacrifices and all the things that it represents in the cross. Okay? But just because we have the cross doesn't mean I get to use God's name in vain because I'm under grace. It doesn't mean I can commit adultery because I'm under grace or steal or whatever. God still calls me to be holy. I know you won't be. That's where I step into the picture and go, I cover what I know there is no way you can do. But the point is, if you love God, there's the desire. I want to do it God's way. And I'm going to touch on this one. Okay. I want to negate tithing. Okay, negate tithing. You can't negate this. God has his portion from front to back. And portion means what? Ratio. That's what a portion is, a ratio. It's this much of that. So you can do what you want to, but when I hear somebody say, I don't have to and I don't... Well, do you want to, though? I know you don't have to. Do you want to? Whatever portion you think that is. And remember, the New Testament always lays out a higher portion than the Old Testament. Sell all you have and give it to. That's a pretty high standard. It isn't whether you commit the adultery. You think, oh, the type anti-type, the type the antitype's always greater than the type. So the New Testament standard is even higher. The portion's got to be higher based on what we see in Scripture. When I hear you say, I don't have to, I'm going, your heart ain't right. I didn't say you're a sinner. I didn't say you're going to hell. I didn't say you're less spiritual than the other guy. It's just when you cross the river and the words you speak tell me something that's in your heart. Well, there ain't no way I'm going to be any man's dwarf, Matt. Step all over him. I've been hurt by it, and I'm not going to. Out of abundance of the heart. See, there's one thing we can hide. Actions. But the Bible tells us that tongue is the hardest thing to control. So that, I know what's in there is eventually going to come out. Now, I may not know that because I don't spend life with you every day. But I know this, as I talk to people, I can tell you how much they're in love with God. I didn't say they don't love God. How much they're in love with. Whether they criticize God's bride or they rejoice in Christ, God's bride. Oh, ready? Well, I can do that with you, men. We can go out on a men's thing and go hunting and shooting and killing things. And I start bringing up family and wives. I can tell you how in love by your wife is by how much you are critical or how much you praise her. Anyway, all right, I can do that. And I can see how much you love God by loving his bride, how much you love his bride. I can see when I start talking about God things, you go, I heard it's supposed to rain next week. You're not comfortable talking about God. Just ask me about my grandson and see how comfortable I am. But you ask me something about God, and then my kids know if you do that, it's going to be a while. Or God's word. Do you love God's word? See, really, that's what the measurement comes down to, because that's what the commands are, God's word. I actually have tests that I give people when they say, oh, yeah, I'm a Bible believer. Oh, good, glad to hear that. Don't you love this one? And you find out real quick if they're a Bible-believing Christian. That's my test to see what side, at least their stance on the Bible is. Do you believe the Bible is inerrant? Yes. You believe it's the Word of God? Yes. Okay, if it's the Word of God, can God lie? No. So if it's the Word of God, it's always going to be true, right? Throughout the Scripture, go, oh, I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought you said God's Word, he can't lie. He said this, so. And they do all kinds of dances. So here, instead of testing others, I'm going to ask you a question. If you came to the river and you were given the quiz, what side would they judge you to be on? Not me. Okay? If you saw you. Oh, that's right. The Bible's a mirror, isn't it? The law's a mirror. If you saw you, would you allow you to cross the river or would you kill yourself? Metaphorically. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to die to self, aren't I? Yeah. See, the sides of me that can't cross, I kill. That's intentional and proactive. They didn't say, just sort of starve it and let it die. Kill it. Matter of fact, Jesus uses hyperbole. What's hyperbole? An exaggerated statement, make a point. If your eye causes you to sin, do what? If your hand causes you to sin, yeah. Now, he's using hyperbole there. Well, I understand that, but that's what he's saying. Get rid of the things that can't make the crossing. Get rid of the things that show you that side of me isn't necessarily on God's side. I have them. I have them. Sometimes I have them within the body of Christ. Again, I'm going to be sort of open and vulnerable. And my elders, I asked them just recently, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? And when these are my weaknesses, I know it, and they told me. What friends, huh? Yeah. But you got to be, is I am sometimes impatient and don't give grace for people who want to study the Bible like I do. That's wrong of me to do that. You say, that ain't it. Say, the heck it isn't. See, you weren't given the same. I might have been given 5 talents in that regard, and you're given 1. You're not held accountable for my 5. You're 1. It is wrong and sinful for me to do that. So that's an area I need to kill. So I've been praying that way, and I've been reading a book that's sort of helping me put this in perspective, okay, of having grace in that regard. Are you ready to kill? Let's go out of church today ready to kill. That might get you in trouble today with the idea of religion and killing, so I wouldn't go out of there saying that. But you have to ask yourself this, and it'll be for another message, and we might even talk about it next time. How do you kill those things? How do you die to the flesh, take off the old man, and put on the new? So I'm going to ask yourself, give yourself the test. In particular, relative to today's message, is the whole authority thing. The whole, in your life, young person, how you doing there? If I came to your house, young teenager, and I watched you, I was an invisible man, let's do it that way, and mom says, or doesn't let you, or dad doesn't, and off to your room you go and you slam the door, do I let you cross the river? Whatever your thing, think of it in that regard. When something comes up by the authority, whoever it is, and they say the thing that just goes, oh, I don't want to do this. When they say, let's go get cookies, I, yeah, let's have some ice cream. Yeah, leader, that's great. And mom says, let's get ice cream. But when mom says, you can't have any ice cream dinners an hour down the road, let's see how that goes. It only happens when there's a conflict, when there's a different opinion. Gauge yourself. Maybe there's other areas the Holy Spirit's convicted you about today. It has nothing to do with that. But in particular relevance to this message, maybe that's it. Let's stand. God, today, as we sort of stand at the river's edge, I ask you, God, to help us gauge one ourselves. Not look at the person next to us, the other person in our family that we don't think is handled. Help us today to look into your word and let it be a mirror to us and say, God, this area of my life needs to drown in this river. This thing in my life, I need to be proactive in killing. God, help me. And Lord, I thank you for those multiple parts of me that does pass by your grace that you've given me. Lord, be glorified in us. Let us love one another to the world, but let us be obedient to what we hear, not just hear. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying to the church. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.